It's been a while. It's been a while, but I'm coming.
You're listening to Sparking Spiritual Growth. Welcome.
I never thought I would fall in love.
This is the podcast that builds a Christian faith through looking at lessons from the Bible and helping apply them in the real world. It's where the Bible intersects everyday life. In today's episode, we're going to slow down and talk about devotionals. I'm going to share with you three of the ways that I create devotionals for myself, and I'm hoping that they will be a help to you. Hi, welcome back. I'm Jason Sparks. One of the things that I try to make sure I do every day is to have some time that I spend just thinking about God, nurturing that relationship with Him. If I intend to love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, that means I've got to have some time to work on that relationship. And it's more than just how I behave. It's more than just obedience. Because we understand that if we love God, we'll keep His commandments. Jesus said the same. And that's certainly true, but my relationship with God is not simply based on the requirements that I'm meeting. So there's a lot more to that relationship than that. I, of course, obey God as much as I can. I mean, I make mistakes like everyone else does. But my efforts are so much better, as far as that goes, whenever my heart is in tune with God. And it's good for us to do that in devotional times. Of course, you know, we meet together on Sundays and we worship. We have Bible class here on Wednesday nights, and I do a Bible class on Tuesdays. I'm spending a lot of time in the Bible, and that's just not going to be enough, really, if I don't have time for myself. And so we talk about this in preaching school. We talk about this, you know, other preachers have talked about this need that preachers have to make sure that what they're studying for like classes and things, is not their personal study time. Because we need other things besides maybe what we're presenting to a congregation. And of course, we need that too, but we have to have this time of devotion that is very important. Now, usually when I'm studying a passage for a scripture, for a sermon or for a Bible class, certainly I get a lot out of that. And that actually becomes quite a bit, quite often, a time of devotion. But sometimes we get caught up in the technicality of it. We get caught up in the science part of it, of the studying out and making sure we understand words and fleshing things out and creating outlines and making sure we have all the right pictures for our PowerPoint. All kinds of things go into that. And if you're a preacher and you're listening to this, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It can take you very much out of the moment. And that's one of the reasons that it's difficult for some preachers to develop spiritually, even though they may increase their knowledge, the knowledge really doesn't make way into the heart. One of the things that Jesus said in the parable of the sower was that when the seed is sown, remember there are four different kinds of soils that were there, that the seed landed on, and one of those was the rocky soil. And the problem with the rocky soil was that the root did not go down deep enough into the soil, and so it didn't get the nourishment that it needed, and that simply means that it didn't have enough importance, and it just kind of died. It didn't create the fruit that God intended for it to create, and we can have that happen to us. You know, for the longest time, I used to think that that meant that I need to dig deep into the Word of God, and that's true. I do need to dig deep into the Word of God, but I also, in looking at the parable, it dawned on me just about a month ago. I'd never noticed this, or if I had, I'd forgotten about it, that it says that the seed is the Word of God. The seed pushes a root down into the soil, and the soil is the heart. So it's not about me, my heart, getting more into the Word. It's the Word of God getting more into my heart, deeper and deeper into it. And the only way I can understand that is to make sure that I drill down, look at the text, and think about what it means for me. Make some kind of an attachment, an association with me that is important and that can motivate me and change me. So that's what a purpose of devotional is. And I have three different ones I said I was going to cover with you. The first one is a very, very simple one. I think it's pretty common, and that is you pick a song. Pick a song that you enjoy singing. It may be a hymn, it may be a fast-moving song, but pick something that you enjoy hearing or you enjoy singing when you're at worship, and just think about the words. Sing it over in your head. If you have the courage, you're not going to disturb everyone, sing out loud. It's amazing how songs, how the words of songs can affect you and how much it can help you pour out your heart and soul to God. And of course, when you're going through these, through the song, pick a song that has words that are directed to God. Some of the songs that we sing, not that it's wrong, but some of the songs that we sing are merely edification for each other. We're trying to encourage one another. That is part of the reason that we have congregational singing. But there are other parts, there are other hymns that are directed straight to God. And the intention is to draw us closer to Him. And that means that we are contemplating who He is and what He has done. And when you have a song that fits that, it's amazing how well that works, how easily we can kind of get in tune with that. Now, I realize that just because I have a feeling that I'm connected with God does not guarantee that I actually have a connection with God. I understand that. And I don't want you to base your salvation on whether or not you have a good feeling about your relationship with God. Because, you know, you can have a great feeling about God and still God not know who you are. We see that all throughout the scriptures. Specifically in Matthew chapter 7, in verse 21, he said, he says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, look at all the things that we've done for you. And he'll tell them, depart from me, I never knew you. Now, in that list of things that they had done for him, they had cast out demons, they had done miracles, they had done things that I will never be able to do, and neither will you. And yet Jesus didn't even know who they were because they lost that connection. Just because you feel like you're right with God doesn't mean that you are right with God. At the same time, I also recognize that just because I feel like I'm not right with God doesn't necessarily mean that I'm not right with God. 1 John talks about the fact that our conscience, that God is greater than our conscience. And so if our conscience condemns us, if we're innocent, God can still look at us and say, no, you haven't done anything wrong. So our feelings are not an indicator of anything at all, either good or bad. But our feelings are still very important in this process. I need to have a connection with my God. And that is going to be not primarily, but well, a large part of that is going to be how I feel. My emotions must be part of this. So when Jesus said to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, I've asked sometimes, what does that word heart mean? And you know, the answer that I get sometimes is they point to their brain through their head and say, that's the thinking heart. And if that's the case, why did he say that he wants us to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength? Isn't that the thinking part, the mind? Of course it is. So we shouldn't deny that we are emotional beings and that our emotions should be dedicated to God. We don't want to pretend that we can turn them off or suppress them. We want to be able to use them in glory of God. And that means that they're going to have to be shaped and brought close to Him, just like our thoughts are brought closer to Him. They can be shaped and molded by the Word of God. Well, the Word of God can also shape and mold our emotions too, to a great degree. And also, when we devote ourselves to God in a devotional kind of thing, our emotions tend to follow. And we are a whole lot more effective. Most of us are a whole lot more effective at doing activities when we have our emotions in tune with our thinking, with our intellect. If they're not in tune, we don't really do that well. We kind of flounder around. So we have to admit that we are human beings, and human beings actually have emotions that are actually good. God provided them for us. We just have to use them appropriately. Now, thinking through a song and thinking and contemplating on God and feeling good about Him and all that He has done for you, that is an extremely good way to use the emotions that God gave us. So we ought to be able to do that. Do you agree? I'd love to hear from you. You can contact me, jason@sparkingspiritualgrowth.org. Please send me an email or go to my website and check out all the stuff that's there. Make a comment on some posts. Just let me know you're around. I'd love to get to know you a little bit better. And I'm really happy that you're a part of this process that I'm going through in teaching and learning how to grow. So coming back to the second devotional technique that I use for myself is simply to sit down and count my blessings. And this one can actually take a while, because when you start counting them, it's really hard to stop, because it feels good to think about all the things that God has done for you and all the ways he has blessed you. But don't merely count your blessings. Think, okay, I have a car, I have a house, I have children, I have a wife. Don't go through a list like that. Pray that list. Go to God and say, God, I know that you have given me all of these things. Thank him for those things. This is a way that you tie yourself to him, that thanksgiving, thankfulness. It creates love in our hearts, and it helps to bind us to him. It reminds us of what this relationship, how much we've benefited from this relationship. And of course, we're not in this relationship merely for what God can do for us, but we certainly know that as our Father, he has provided so much for us. And there are so many things that we take for granted. It takes away the compulsion to complain, at least for a little while, right? We need to understand what God has done. Counting your blessings is one of the best things that you can do. And if you will actually write them down, you'll fill up a piece of paper really quick. It's really difficult to stay in a bad mood or to be angry or to be depressed feeling when you have that huge list standing right in front of you. And that's one way that we can combat difficulties mentally. Think about the things that you've had happen to you that are good. Well, God has blessed us in so many different ways. And this third technique is a little more involved. This is actually something, it takes me about an hour. I do this probably once or twice a week. I'm trying to improve this. I used to do it every day. I did it every day for about 2 months. I know, record, right? And since then, it's been about once or twice a week. I'm trying to increase that number. And I don't really have a way of, like, a name for this. This is just something that I've started doing myself. Just thought of it and started doing. And it's taking a deep dive into just a few verses at a time. So, for example, I'm going through the book of John right now doing this. And I'll take just two or three verses. I started doing only two or three verses. Well, actually, 1 to 3 is what it is, because I was wanting to memorize the book of John over, like a year or two's time. The easiest way to do that, of course, is to just memorize a couple verses a day. So I started working through that, and yes, I have probably, I think, all the way through chapter 2 and about verse 13. I'm down right now, not perfectly, but I know what's there. But in doing that, I would break this up into four parts. The first part is what I call retention. That is, I'm simply just taking the time to retain what the text says. And I'm not just memorizing it. I'm thinking about the implications. I'm trying my best to meditate on it while I'm thinking about it. That's the reason I started to memorize it to begin with. I thought, well, I'm already repeating this and really contemplating and thinking about it. And before, what I would do is I would set a timer for each of these sections for 15 minutes for each part. And that's not a bad idea. It encourages you to keep going. If you already have it memorized, well, now you can back up and review, or maybe you could learn another verse. But anyway, retention is where I think about what the text means, and I just let it just soak in. And memory work really does that for me. So you repeat it over and over and over. You notice things that you never noticed before. You see things in different ways, especially because the way I do memory work is I'll break the sentences up into phrases. And then I'll repeat the phrases several times. Then I'll combine phrases together. That's how I do it. I just keep building on it. And when I do that, I notice things I've never noticed before. It just has to be that way because most of the time we don't sit and read like that. We might even think about what we're reading, but we don't think about it for 15 minutes for two verses, right? So anyway, that's the first step. The second step is what I call expression. That is, I ask the question, what does this say about God? And I've been timing myself 15 minutes. What does it say about God? That's a challenge sometimes because some of the passages that I'm reading, it doesn't seem to say anything about God because it's not about God. For example, in John chapter 1, there's several verses in there that talk about John the Baptist and the things that he did in teaching and preparing the way for the Lord. So I had to really struggle through, okay, what does it really say about God? When actuality, it does say something about God. It just may not look like it does. With John, for example, I looked at the message that he had and the reason that he was doing it. He was out preaching and teaching. That was about God and God's preparation and God, how that God knew throughout the ages that he was going to bring about the Messiah, and he brought the perfect messenger, John, to come and deliver this message in such a way that the entire countryside came out to hear him. See, this is God's planning right there. And when you start thinking about what it says about God, you start realizing that really the entire Bible is all about, it's all about God. But we often mistake it and think it's about us or how we should live. Sure, it talks about us and how we should live, but it's about God. So that's the second question. And when I do that, I try to, and when I'm answering that question, I try to make sure that I think of as many points as I can think about, but I try to find the biggest point that's there. And there usually will be something that stands out. It might be that it's something I'd never thought of before, and so it stands out for that reason. It may be because it just is pressing. It's in the text, and you can't escape it, and it's the biggest idea that's there. And it could be this one little minor point that I really, for some reason, have just bonded with. And I try to find that one thing, because the next question, the next part of this, part three, is relation. And that is where I ask the question, how does this relate to me? And specifically, I'm not asking about the text anymore. I'm asking about that one point that I brought out about thinking about what it says about God. So what it says about God, what does that information do to me? How do I interact with that? And in fact, I kind of term this a touch point. This fact about God, or this tidbit about God, where does it touch me in my life? And I try to define that and say, okay, it may touch me, it may, you know, hit me in my belief bone, right? it might many areas it may hit me and it may affect me. And so what I do is I just, for 15 minutes, I write that down and think about it, flesh that out. What does it mean for me about what it's saying about God? What does that mean for me? And what are the implications? What are the things that I need to learn from this? What are the things that I need to do from this? When you start understanding, putting it that in that way, you really start having a lot of application, because the second question about expression, you understand a little piece about God and his nature, and then it's very easy for you to see, okay, since he is this way, this is how I must be. And you can put it into practice. It may take a little bit of practice, but you can do that. It makes it a lot easier if you clearly answer the second part. And then the fourth part of this, in this deep dive, is what I call intention. And that is when I ask the question, how can I teach someone else, or how can I touch someone else in the same touch point where I was touched? What can I do for them, for other people, so they can have the same kind of impact? And that could mean that I teach them something, or it could mean that I simply try to exhibit something, live something out. It could be that I have a specific plan of action for what I can do to actually help someone else. There are all kinds of ways that this can be applied. But when you're doing that, you're applying, not only are you applying what the word teaches, you're applying what it means about God. You're putting it into practice and helping other people see that. And for me, this really is important, and that's why I do it a couple times a week, because although it does take a while, it's important to me because it helps me to see how I can be of use to other people. Growth in and of itself is not just about me. It's about how I'm interacting with the people who are around me. And the more I grow, the more I understand what that means, and how the importance of the interpersonal relationships and the importance of how I can help other people and guide them and bring them to a better place. Not that I'm so much better than them, but if I know something that can be a benefit and an encouragement to people, I have an obligation to try my best to convey that in a way that they can understand it. So this is where I look at my own life, and one of the reasons that I do the devotionals, because I get so much out of it. And it's important. Now and then, I'm tempted to say, well, I'm a little busy. I think I'm going to skip it. But I don't let myself skip. And the reason for this, even if it's a short devotional, I'm not going to just say, I mean, I can say, okay, I can take 10 minutes, right? And the reason for that is I remind myself, if you don't have the why, you're not going to do the what. And I can be busy doing all the things that God wants me to do, but if I lose sight of God and I lose sight of why I'm doing this to begin with, then what good am I doing? That's a recipe for burnout right there. If you want to get burned out, that is definitely the way to do it. You just start working, spinning your wheels, or even you may make great progress, but if you forget why you're doing it, you're not really going anywhere, except eventually you're going to either burn out really bad or you're going to end up in an insane asylum or something, because you can only go so long without doing things that don't make sense anymore. And it doesn't make sense to do things if you've forgotten why you're doing them to begin with. And God is the reason why. If he's not, then what are you doing anyway, right? This personal growth is hard enough. It's difficult enough. We need to make sure we have our why clearly in mind. And that's what I hope to encourage you with today. What is it that I can do to help you? Do you have any techniques of devotionals that you have? What's your favorite way of doing it? I'd love to hear from you, because I can learn from you, and I can maybe incorporate those things in my own practice as well. So the three that I have is pick a song, count my blessings, and then I have that four-part quest that I'm digging into the Word of God. Thank you so much for being a part of this. I'm really happy that you're here listening to me. Please share this with other people and let me know that you're here. Please give me send me an email message if you want to, jason@sparkingspiritualgrowth.org. I'd love to hear from you. I always answer everything that I get. Thank you so much for listening, and until next time, keep growing.